Shabbat Shalom. This week, we read Parashat Truma. Truma, in modern Hebrew, means a donation. But its root is rom, to raise up. As we just chanted, Romemu Adonai Eloheinu, in the Kabbalat Shabbat. Let's exalt our God. The experience of donating from the heart is elevating. And what is donated in our parasha? The materials needed to build the Mishkan, the portable sanctuary in the desert. Utchelet v'argaman v'tolat shani v'shesh v'izim. Blue, purple, and crimson yarns, fine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, dolphin skins, and acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil, and for the aromatic incense, lapis lazuli, and other stones for setting, for the ephod, and for the breastpiece, v'asuli mikdash, v'shachanti betocham, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. How these recent slaves had this wealth of materials to donate is the subject of much commentary. But what is clear is that their contributions would transform at the hands of the Israelites' greatest artist and artisan, Bezalel, into religious artifacts that would symbolize God's proximity, enabling God to dwell among them. Allow me to take you on a tour of what Bezalel fashioned with these donations. They shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold, overlay it inside and out, and deposit in the ark the tablets of the pact, the Ten Commandments, which I will give you. These are the instructions for building the Ark of the Covenant. And if you look behind me, you see our own ark. This ark no longer holds the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Those have been lost over time. But it holds our Torahs and a central and significant place in the architecture of this sanctuary. This sanctuary is designed not based on 20th century plans, but on plans that are more than 3,200 years old. Our ark isn't the only artifact from this Torah portion that graces this bima. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work. Its base and its shaft, its cups, calyxes, and petals shall be of one piece. 6 branches shall issue from its sides, 3 branches from one side of the lampstand, and 3 branches from the other side of the lampstand. Our menorah takes its place within our sanctuary to honor our ancient legacy. When you look upon this space, you should see back in time. Our lived experience is bound up in our past. I remember learning as a middle school student in my Jewish day school why it was that Jews were merchants in the Middle Ages. As trade was expanding between Europe and the Middle East, Asia, and Africa, traders were facing a challenge with communication. How could they make themselves understood with no common language? The solution? Jews. Following exiles from Israel, Jews established communities throughout the world. While we speak our local languages, we have always maintained a facility in Hebrew through the study of our texts. Jewish traders from Europe could trade in India, Persia, North Africa, and beyond without the assistance of Google Translate. The experience of reuniting with cousins in far-off lands ran deeper than language. When it was time for prayer, these merchants entered the local synagogues and experienced the familiar. They saw the ark and the menorah. They prayed the same words, even if the tunes were foreign, and felt a sense of home. Our material culture is beautiful and ancient and shared among Jews in all corners of the world. Yet, there is a new and rising theory in the field of Jewish studies that challenges the notion that we are a people. The argument they make is that we are too fragmented, and the concepts of shared mission, values, and history are too abstract to be meaningful. They argue, let's instead focus on our small, insular neighborhood communities and no longer feel bound to Jews throughout the world. This perspective is one I cannot stomach. I believe it is not only inaccurate, but harmful. Rabbi David Gezelman, in a brilliant essay, tracks this idea that is taking root in our institutions of higher learning. I quote, "The scholarly assault against Jewish peoplehood cannot be divorced, of course, from the constant characterization of Zionism as a form of European white colonialism, rather than the national liberation movement of the Jewish people that it is. If there is no Jewish people, then of course there can be no Zionism. If the Jews don't exist in any essential historical way, then of course they have no right to self-realization and self-determination." Ultimately, this viewpoint divorces Judaism from Israel and Zionism and paints Zionism as racism. Rabbi Gezelman advocates for a needed solution, that we develop and teach a curriculum of Jewish peoplehood to our youth. We cannot send our teens off to college without a secure grounding in their Jewish identity. They must know that they are the future of the Jewish people. As I stand amidst the material culture and artifacts of our people, the Ark and the menorah, I'm reminded of a course that I took on my junior year abroad. We studied the art and architecture of the ancient synagogue, visiting many in Israel. Each mosaic and fresco we observed included these elements, the menorah and the ark. We were bound to our people throughout time. When I travel with my family, we visit synagogues on Shabbat. In Madrid, we went to the main synagogue, Beth Jacob. I sat in the balconied women's section with my daughters and heard a little voice above my head squealing, "Ima, Mom." I looked up to find my six-year-old son's curls dangling off a balcony 20 feet above my head. Putting aside my fear of him falling or wondering how he found his way up there, I chuckled. This was deja vu. 1 year earlier, in the main synagogue of Vienna, while sitting in the women's balcony, Jacob had called to me from the balcony over my head. What was this curious boy doing? He was learning the architecture of synagogues. He was discovering what was familiar and strange. He was making a home for himself in these foreign lands. He was learning the meaning of Jewish peoplehood. In Parashat Truma, the Ark of the Covenant is decorated on top with two cherubs. They face each other with wings outstretched and touching. The Netziv, Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the 19th century head of the famed Volozhin Yeshiva in today's Belarus, wonders about the role of the angels. He explains that they are locked in an eternal gaze with one another. This is the look of love. Love that our ancient tradition and material culture claim for us as a people. We are bound to our God, to our Torah, to Israel, and to one another. We are the Jewish people.